time for our scripture reading today. Our gospel lesson comes from the first chapter of Luke. Verses 46 through 55. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit as we hear the gospel. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God and my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has sown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. It seemed like it was just a few days ago that we were sitting with family and friends at Thanksgiving, planning out what the next few weeks would look like for the summer, the time of Advent. And it seems like just yesterday we lit the first candle on the Advent wreath. And tonight we lit all five. When we first started Advent, there were just some purple pyramids and a couple of poinsettias, and now we have light and garlands and all kinds of beauty for Christmas, including our nativity. In our series in The Redemption of Scrooge, for those that haven't been in worship for a while, we have been looking at Ebenezer Scrooge and his redemption, his behaviors, his life. And we started out Advent with looking at, we actually saw a clip of Jacob Marley laden with chains and heavy weights, and he was talking about his own selfishness. Since then, we have journeyed through the dark weeks of December. For some, that meant being consumed by shopping, being consumed by baking and Christmas card writing, as we anxiously crossed off the to-do list. I had one such list, maybe you did too. Some of you maybe did some shopping these last weeks for people in need, people that would not have otherwise had a Christmas. And then they were able to then experience the Christmas. We also got to see the other ghosts that visited Ebenezer Scrooge, ghosts from the past and ghosts from the present. Some of you studied in groups and heard about it in worship. Just last week, we were serenaded by our young disciples who did their Christmas program for us. On a bitter, cold morning, took us to the manger in Bethlehem and recounted the story of the birth of our Savior. It makes me tired of thinking about all the things that we've done in the past month, everything that we've done since Advent started 4.5 weeks ago. And yet tonight, we sit here realizing that the waiting and the anticipating is over. I invite you right now in this quiet dimming of the light afternoon to pause in a moment of silence and consider some things. Take a deep breath. It's Christmas Eve. We're in worship. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior. Take in the manger. Take in that manger, which now cradles the Christ child. It was empty, and now the Christ child is there. What does it all mean? Now that the to-do list is done, and now that we've come to this place, and we've accomplished all that we could because the stores are closing, and it's Christmas tomorrow morning. Why have you come here?
Why are you here? What do you hope to experience this afternoon?
The beginning of the Christmas story, Mary, which we didn't actually recount, we heard it actually in the Advent lighting. Before Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem, we see in the story that Mary is visited by an angel who tells her that God wants her to have God's son Jesus. And then Joseph was visited by an angel too. And in the early months of Mary's pregnancy, she traveled to her cousin Elizabeth's house, who herself was pregnant. And she spoke the words that I read for our scripture tonight. Mary's Magnificat. Mary's celebration of what God would do through her and the baby that she was carrying in her womb. Mary was rejoicing to God about how he had chosen her to bear God's son. How Mary was glorifying God for the blessings that would forever be hers. Says that from now on, everyone will call me blessed. That's what Mary received when she said she'd carry God's son. When she said she would be the mother of the Savior of the world. My friends, we pause this day to enter again into the story of Jesus' past, Jesus' present, and Jesus' future. Because Jesus' story is our past. Jesus' story is our present, and Jesus' story is our future. Because Jesus was born, Jesus walked upon the earth as a human, he started out as a baby, grew up to be a man, caught, eventually was killed and raised from the dead, all so that we could have a certain future for ourselves of Christmases yet to come. Christmases where we could glorify God in the person that is Jesus. And more important, we have a future after this life, a future with God in heaven as our days on earth are done. The ghost that visited Ebenezer Scrooge taught Scrooge how to keep Christmas well. That's really what he's showing. Keep Christmas well in your heart. The redemption of Scrooge talks about Scrooge's redemption and was completed when he selflessly gave in abundance to his employee, Bob Cratchit, gave money to help the poor where he had refused to do so before, and accepted his nephew's invitation to Christmas dinner when he had said, "It's all humbug." In Scrooge's redemption on Christmas morning, he finds that he is as light as a feather, as happy as an angel. That's the power of redemption. The chains of selfishness and greed and anger no longer bind Ebenezer Scrooge. And for us here on Christmas Eve, our redemption is made complete when we accept that this baby in the manger is more than the baby in the manger. When we accept and believe that Jesus came for an amazing purpose, came to save us from our own sins, came to offer us resurrection after our death. Christmas and this beautiful scene in the manger in Bethlehem means nothing unless we remember Easter. And Christmas means nothing without the cross. So I invite you to look at the manger, similar maybe to a manger in Bethlehem. I invite you to look at the cross, one on the altar, the one on the wall, because I didn't turn the light back on. I hope you have a look at it. Because of the birth of Jesus in a humble barn long ago, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are offered redemption. We are offered transformation, and we are offered salvation in Jesus Christ. Know that this is a gift that we have not earned, the gift of eternal life, and we don't deserve this gift. There might be gifts under our tree at home, and maybe we don't deserve those either, but they are gifts. Gifts because someone loves us. And we have the gift of Jesus because God loves us. Through our faith in Christ, our present, our past, and our future are held together in the grace found in believing that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That little baby in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world. Will you accept this gift for the first time, maybe, or will you accept this gift again if you already have accepted it? The gift of grace, the first gift that is of Christmas. In a short while, we're going to come to the communion table, and we're going to experience the gift of Jesus, because when we break the bread and remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we once again partake in the gift that is Jesus Christ. And we can recount our relationship with Jesus, Jesus' relationship with the world. Let us pray. Almighty and Holy Lord, we praise you for the gift of Jesus, for how salvation is offered to us. Amen.